have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
Nuts like they will tell you two kinds of red herring.
Did you know that there are bananas growing on the Central Coast? When I think about banana plantations, I think about warm, tropical places like Panama, Ecuador, and all the other places printed on the stickers on my bananas from the grocery store. Or maybe Hawaii, if I had to guess a place in the United States. But we have bananas right here on the Central Coast. Beard's Tropical Nursery is in Goleta, on the inland side of Highway 101. Norman Beard has been operating a tropical fruit nursery there since 1978.
My neighbor came in here, gave me one tree. And from that one tree, we planted a whole 5 acres in bananas.
I visited his large hobby farm that overlooked the freeway and the Pacific Ocean to learn how bananas could actually grow on the Central Coast. Norman took me on a tour in his cart. It was like a gas-powered golf cart for off-roading. It was very noisy, but it was a great tropical fruit adventure.
Well, I'm Norman Beard. I've been retired 34 years. I just do farming now. And that's my hobby, that's my love. I raise all kinds of tropical fruit. Bananas was the first ones that I raised. At one time, this whole property was in banana trees. There's a clove tree right here. And there's a bay leaf right here. Glove is on the other side. Straight ahead is Eureka lemon. And we grow a Valentine pomelo. We also have some Chandler's. We have probably 8 different varieties of mandarin orange, pecans, cherimoy trees, probably 12 varieties of mangoes, pineapple, feijoa, guavas, black sapote, which is very rare, green sapote, very rare. But in front right there is a Subel sapote. And we also, on the left side of that palm tree right there, is a jelly palm. There's a date palm on the other side of the house over there. Peach trees, cherry trees. We actually saw cherries on my trees there. I didn't show you the apples down here on the tree, and I wish I could tell you all the trees I got. There's probably 100 varieties of different kinds of trees in here.
Okay,
well, let's go down where the mysores are. Okay, these are all Missy Luki. Missy Luki bananas from Hawaii. I like to have about 4 in a group, different sizes, so they come on different times in the year. They're a good seller.
You mentioned 4 in a group, and I'm looking at these trees here, and they are really bunched together. These are bunched in together as if they were a bouquet of banana trees. So what's behind that?
They'll grow like that, but I'll thin them out. People come here and they want to buy a banana tree, I just sell it to them. So I would come and take 1 or 2 of those out and sell them. I've been a nursery since 78 or 98. I saw a lot of banana trees.
We're here in your banana grove. Now, I'm looking at this plant, and I think of banana trees, right, with a trunk, and then you've got the leaves really high up. And it sort of looks like that, but it more looks like a large plant, like a large tomato plant would be. So how long does it take to grow to get this big?
These were planted, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. It takes 2 years to get a banana fruit on one tree. The soil's not that good here. There was a lot of sand here, and I think this is why they're not growing as tall. But back here in the corner, you can see they're growing tall, and there's dirt there. It's not sand. It's good loam. You chop that banana tree up and throw it down along the tree.
So you chop the top off after harvest?
Yeah, and you chop it all up in pieces and throw it along the tree, and that puts all the sugars back in the soil for the next tree.
Oh, so that's why we can get banana leaves to make our Yucatan pork and to make banana leaf wrapped fish and stuff. Because they have to get rid of them anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people come here. They get these leaves and they make their, what do they call them, corn zone.
It's a pork. There's a famous pork recipe that you make wrapped in banana leaves. I just made it 2 weeks ago, actually. How do you grow a banana? If you don't have a tree, can you grow a banana from a banana?
No, these small plants here are corms that come from the mother banana tree there.
They have offshoots then?
Yeah, they're called corms. And they will come up and give you bananas. They don't have to be grafted. No problem. They'll give you bananas. It's a mysore. Well, to see how tall it grows, it's a very tall tree. One of the reasons I don't grow those is they're too tall. It'd be hard to harvest them. Where the Missiluki is a smaller tree, easier to harvest. These are bigger here because they get a lot of water. I try to limit the water to them because my water bill runs $800 a month. I have to conserve water here in Goleta.
What's the difference in terms of the shape, the size, the flavor of these two types of bananas?
Oh, it's all flavor. They grow better here too, the Missiluki do. I'm sold on them. At one time, probably had 20 kinds of bananas in here. Like red bananas, it doesn't get warm enough here to grow red bananas. They just couldn't get the form on them. So I quit growing them. A lot of bananas that didn't do too well, I quit growing. But the Mysore does very good here.
So these are smaller bananas. They're like half the size of supermarket.
Well, I'll get big ones. I'll get them. Some will be bigger than supermarket, but it has to do with the climate and everything. When they ripen, if they got the heat, they'll really get big and be bigger than the supermarket ones. Length will be about the same, but they'll be fatter. And they're very tasty. I mean, I when mine are on, I have them with breakfast. Bananas are good for you. They're full of potassium. Doesn't hurt to eat one a day.
You said it takes 2 years to produce a banana. It takes a year to grow and then another year to produce. In terms of the calendar year, what's the cycle once it starts producing?
You got to remember, bananas are growing South America and their climate is opposite of ours. So these come on in the winter here. We have mild weather here in the winter.
What enables you to grow bananas in Santa Barbara?
Well, it doesn't get below 40 degrees at my property here normally. Bananas will stop growing once it hits 60 degrees. They sort of go dormant, but they don't die.
You said that doesn't get below 40. Does it get warm enough for bananas?
Oh, sure. It's probably going to be 70 every day out of the year, except for maybe a month and a half. Hit 100 here in January. They really grow really well here. It's up in the 80s, 90s, you never know what it's going to be. I don't want to get in politics, but it's getting warmer. Yeah, it's really getting warmer. So it's made a big difference.
What should the banana season be?
Usually December, January, February. But the ones I showed you back there, you know, they're not ready to come on. They're going to be later. But it has a lot to do with how much watering they do. The first ones I showed you back there get a lot of water. These here are on a drip system here. They don't get as much water because they're at the end of the line.
Well, should we have a look at the closer look at the stalk that's up there?
Okay.
Okay, let's go back. We headed up to the plants that actually had bananas growing on them, so Norman could tell me more about the banana plant itself. Okay, so the anatomy of a banana tree.
That's the male bloom down below. I need to get my machete out and chop it off because they're through. The females are all bananas. You see at the end, that's where the little bloom was. And the male, when you're through with him, you just cut him off. But the Asians use these blooms for salads because they're full of little bananas and they make good salad.
So the drop-down part that you say is the male is male. Full of bananas on the inside?
Yeah, little tiny ones. And they're real soft and they make a salad out of them.
So the male comes out first and then the stalk of bananas develops, right?
Yes.
Does the male ever open up?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful, red, brilliant red.
What happens if I pull it open?
Well, you can pull this open, no problem.
Okay, I'm not going to ruin your bananas doing this. Okay. It looks like a living, an animal rather than a plant. I think it's going to open up and eat me. And you said there's bananas in here.
Yeah, lots.
Baby bananas. Okay.
Try not to get...
So it's all layered. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what they make the salads out of.
These yellow things?
Yeah. Break that off and take it home with you.
Okay.
Don't get that sap on you, your clothes.
Okay. There's lots of ants on it.
The ants are free.
Yeah, thank you. So what are some of the challenges of growing bananas?
None.
None?
No, I never had no disease in them. You know, right now, there's a disease in bananas down in South America. They need to find more bananas that roots aren't affected, and these have no infection at all. Yeah, they say it's Cavendish banana, but I've got Cavendish. I didn't show them to you coming.
Cavendish is the most popular kind of banana in the supermarket.
I've got one small bunch of them growing. I understand it's a Cavendish. They get a root rot in them.
Why aren't we diversifying the bananas we eat in the supermarket?
You've got to have a market for whatever you grow. If people said only like Missy Lukey bananas, that's all they would buy. So that's all you would grow. If you don't have the market, there's no sense in growing them.
So how do we get exposed to these different varietals of fruit that aren't in the supermarket in order to create the demand?
Well, you got to find somebody that got a hobby like mine that grows them and sells them, you know. It's the only way, and they're thin. There's not many of us doing that because you don't make any money at it.
I lived in Britain for a while. I left in 2001, and I came back a couple years ago. And when I lived in the Bay Area, bananas in the supermarket were always yellow. At worst, they were like slightly tinge of green, but they were always yellow. I went to Britain and all of the bananas are green, and you have to wait for them to ripen because, of course, our bananas come from a lot further away. But now I've moved back to California, and you go to the supermarket and all the bananas are green, and you have to take them home and ripen them. Do you know what's caused that change?
Okay, I can tell you this. When I see one ripe banana on a stalk of bananas, that's when I cut it because I know they're starting to ripen. It takes a long time to get them ripe, and it may be never ripen if you cut them green. That's what gives mine a good flavor because they're ripened on a tree. And that's why mine are better to eat than what you get in a store. When the ones you get in the store are all cut green in South America, and they come up on a banana boat to Louisiana, Mississippi. There's one dock down there that all the bananas come in there, and they load the trucks up, truck them all over the United States. But I see some ripe bananas on there. You're going to get to taste those.
Oh, I see them as well. Oh, wow. Can I tread over there and look at the ripe bananas?
Sure.
Just okay.
Get a hold of that tree and pull it down. Can you reach them?
Yeah, I can.
Get you a couple and I'll try one too. That's a Mysore.
I got ones that already split open.
Yeah, that's okay. You see, this is really a good banana.
Do we want to eat one now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So this is your Mysore banana, and it's about 2.5 inches long.
Yeah, that's what they call baby banana.
Baby banana. Wow, look at that. I've eaten a couple things
off
the
tree.
Yeah, just
eat on this side here.
Okay.
Don't eat there.
Can I throw this out there?
Yeah, throw it on the ground.
Do you want some?
No, it's okay.
You've tasted them before.
Yeah. You're going to like it. You can't get them in the market like that.
Oh, wow. It's like you injected sugar into these bananas.
Well, it's tree ripened. Makes a big difference. You can see why people will go after.
That's amazing. It's like banana flavored sugar. It's got a completely different, more intense sweetness and taste. I was chaplain on a cruise ship for Christmas 3 times, and my first gig was 2 weeks in the Caribbean. We stopped on one of the islands and I had lunch there because, of course, you know, you want to have the food of the local people. And I almost didn't choose it because it sounded gross, but I had fish with a banana sauce. So what's your experience of having bananas with savory dishes rather than sweet?
Well, one of my favorite dishes is chicken breast with banana. And if I say a restaurant has it, I will order it. They have it down here at Dutch Gardens in Santa Barbara. He has it on his menu all the time.
And they're the sweeter bananas, not plantains. Okay, because plantains are related to the banana, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah. The first batch I planted was all plantains. They were very woody here, so that's why I don't grow them here anymore.
They're not very nice anyway. I don't like plantains.
No, I don't either. They just don't taste good to me.
The tour was coming to an end, but Norman had one other tree to show me. Nothing to do with bananas, but pretty cool.
You probably know about those. That was in the Garden of Eden. The Jewish people put it in their synagogue during their most religious days. I get a lot of calls on those in September.
Chag HaSukkot HaZeh
Etrog is the yellow citron or citrus used by Jewish people during the week-long holiday of Sukkot. Its use comes from Leviticus 23:40. On the first day you shall take the fruit of the majestic trees, branches of the palm trees, boughs of the leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So there's something for your next trivia night at the pub. It's time to get into my kitchen and rediscover a dish that I had several years ago. I was chaplain on a cruise ship for Christmas in 2011. The cruise was 2 weeks in the southern and western Caribbean. I think I was on St. Kitts when I had fish and banana curry for lunch. This excursion to Norman's banana plantation was an effort to revisit that dish. But first, I wanted to taste test the bananas.
The key thing to discovering that Norman's bananas are superior to supermarket bananas is to taste them side by side. So I have one of these very small bananas from Norm's tree that I picked myself. I feel very proud about picking it myself. I have an organic banana from the co-op that is from Mexico. And I have a supermarket banana, which is from Ecuador and is ripe. It's not green, it is ripe. And I'm going to taste each one. I'm gonna taste the supermarket one first. It tastes like a banana, exactly what we think a banana should taste like. It's not overly sweet. It has a soft but firm texture, you know, that kind of in between. So let me try the organic Mexican banana. It was a little bit riper, but it's not too unlike the supermarket banana. And now for Norman's banana. It is the same texture. After you swallow, there's this sweetness at the back of the tongue, and it gives it a much different character. Let's now cook with the bananas.
Now, before the curry, I want to try the dish Norman told me about, the banana flour salad. There are several different types of banana flour recipes on the internet, but I'm going to choose the one that has a Vietnamese name and has the least amount of instruction. Like, the instructions on here are clearly from being homemade. So that gives me more confidence that it is an authentic recipe. For example, the dressing is juice of a lemon mixed with fish sauce and brown sugar. To your liking, taste the dressing of combined lightly sour, lightly sweet, and lightly salty. So obviously somebody has made this recipe many, many times and is not inclined to give me any quantities. So here we go. This is what's in this recipe. Banana flour sliced and soaked in salty water for 10 backward slash apostrophe. I don't know what that means. 1 carrot in thin strips, roasted peanuts, shallot, chilies, lemon, herbs like mint, brown sugar, fish sauce, and crackers are optional. So let me give it a try. Here we go. Peeling this banana flour, very excited about it. There's these little infant bananas that are on there. I'm actually gonna try one and really hope to God that it doesn't kill me. They're really pretty. And they taste horrible. Yuck. No, very bitter. So I'll follow the recipe like it says. It says to take off the 2 outer skins and then slice and soak the banana flour leaves. So, okay. It says 500 grams, but I'm making a salad for myself. So I'm gonna just use 2 of these leaves, maybe 3. Here we come to the julienne and then soak in water for 10 backward slash apostrophe, which I'm gonna assume is 10 minutes. If it's 10 hours, then we've got a little bit of a problem. Okay, I'm going to julienne a carrot. For the roasted peanuts, I'm gonna use the Sacha Inchi seeds that I got when I did the episode on the co-op. And I'll roast them in a cast iron pan for a couple minutes. I'm just gonna chop up some shallots, chilies, and I don't really know what to do with the lemon because it doesn't really tell me. Onion, shallots, slice and fry in a pan. Juice of a lemon mixed with fish sauce and brown sugar. Mixing bowl, banana, flour, carrot, fried shallots and dressing, chilies, peanuts, chilies, and herbs. Okay, there we go. I'm gonna make the dressing with the juice of a small part of a lemon, the fish sauce, which I'm gonna use very sparingly because it's very flavorful. I can always add more, I can never take away. Put a little brown sugar and whisk that up a little bit.
trying to get the sugar to dissolve. Can smell that fish sauce. It's very, 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 very fragrant. Can't even smell the lemon juice because the fish sauce is so strong. Let's give that a try. Nice balance. I might add a little bit more sugar.
Give my peanuts a shake.
I'm going to add the mint now, and it says to tear it with my hand, but I'm going to julienne it instead because I'm just like that. You know, if you want to tear it by your hand, you can, but I want tiny, tiny, tiny bits of mint because I like all of the flavors in the same one bite. You never know with chilies whether you're going to get a hot one or one that's a dud. So let me try a little tip of this chili. It's a serrano chili. Oh yeah. This one's a hot one. I love hot, so we'll mince a bit of that up, maybe a lot of it. Put it in with the rest of the ingredients. Let's see if I have all of the ingredients. So the banana flour, which is soaking, carrot, roasted peanuts, which are the sacha inchi beans, onion, chilies, lemon, herbs, brown sugar, fish sauce. So I've got everything, and I'm just gonna mix it together. So they've been soaked and rinsed. I'm gonna see what a banana flour tastes like. It doesn't have a lot of flavor. It's very woody. It's all right. I can see why it's used as a salad. I think it's a texture thing. Okay, all of the ingredients are in the bowl. Take a fork and mix them up. And I'm gonna let it sit while I make the shrimp, and then I'm gonna eat them and try them together.
Finally, it's time for the banana and fish curry. Looking back at the picture of my fish and banana curry, I can see that I had it with brown rice. Now, this is an interesting thing. When I was a kid in the Midwest, brown rice was just white rice boiled in a stock cube. And that is exactly what the brown rice was with my fish and banana curry in the Caribbean. So that's what I'm gonna do this evening.
Starting this shrimp recipe, I have measured everything out. I've got the shrimp. I had really big shrimp, so I cut them into more bite-sized pieces. It's raw shrimp. It was previously frozen. And now I'm going to sear the shrimp, remove it, and cook the rest of the ingredients. The shrimp cooked really quickly, so now time for the shallots, onions, and red bell pepper. Now that the onions have softened, I'm gonna add the chili, the ginger, and the garlic. Just stir that real briefly because the ginger and garlic will cook really quickly. You can smell the ginger and garlic, and that means they're cooked now. I'm gonna add the ground spices, which we have cumin, coriander, turmeric, and allspice. Toss those around until all of the vegetables are coated. Then it wants me to put in the lime juice and a splash of dry white wine. Deglaze the pan with that liquid. Get all those crusty bits off the bottom of the pan and rolling around with the onions and the peppers and the garlic. And I'm gonna add some coconut milk and some diced onions. That adds the liquid to it and simmer that down. Smells really good. And to that, I'm gonna add the bananas that Norman gave me, those really small bananas that we picked straight from his tree that were just sweet as candy, just amazing. It was like eating banana taffy, but not as chewy. And I'm gonna let it simmer for a couple minutes, and then I'm gonna add the shrimp, and then I'm going to eat it. Now I'm gonna add the shrimp back in, toss it up a bit, leave it in for just a little bit, because I don't wanna overcook the shrimp, I don't want rubbery shrimp, but I want the shrimp to take on the flavors. Now I'm going to take this brown rice, which we all know is white rice with a beef stock cube in it, and put it in my dish. And now I'm going to put the curry on top. There is a garnish of green onion on this dish, which just brightens up the dish a little bit. And there we go.
Time to taste these new creations.
I have my banana flour salad, my shrimp and banana curry with brown rice, and I have my white wine that was used to cook the curry. So let's try the salad first. Take a big bite here. It's got all the flavors associated with it.
The texture is great. It's very fibrous. It tastes like many a Thai salad with peanuts and the fish sauce and the brown sugar. And the citrus. It's really great. And what I think is really wonderful about it is that we're using a part of the plant that people wouldn't think of using. And that's an important thing to me, is that we don't waste food. So let's taste the banana curry now. I'm going to make sure I get some shrimp, some sauce, and a banana all in the same bite. It's very similar to what I had in the Caribbean. It's probably lighter and fresher than I had in the Caribbean. The very sweet bananas lose a little bit of their sweetness or add a little bit of a character that doesn't make them so sweet, because they were really sweet when I tasted them off the tree. But this is the exact same banana. It doesn't make it this sugary dish that you would think. I'm not a big fan of fruit and meat, so this is a big departure for me. But I like the dish. It's something that I would definitely serve to friends and family at a dinner party. It's a really delicious dish, and this playing with food has been spectacular, because even though I'm following recipes, I am still playing with food, because these are two dishes that people would never think of making.
Once again, the exercise of playing with food has expanded my palate and my food adventurousness. I made a second banana flour dish, this time a curry that I found on the internet. I like the idea of using as much of the plant as you can.
It tastes very delicious. It's a great way to use other parts of the plant that we wouldn't think of eating. I would definitely make this again, because it's not really about the banana leaf, but it's about using the plant in a curry that you could use anything in. I think it could use some protein, maybe some chicken, or maybe I should have put some of the shrimp in there.
Who would have believed that just down the road are bananas we can pluck off the tree? The tour of the tropical fruit farm with Norman was amazing. He has been hobby farming bananas and other tropical fruits since 1978, but his love for fruit extends much earlier than that.
You know, I had my first fruit market when I was 13 years old in Ohio, and we used to go get bananas over in Indianapolis at the market over there. Back in World War II, they had them hid out to ripen down under the city. We used to have to go through a manhole with a ladder to get them out of there.
I learned a whole heck of a lot about bananas from Norman, and I got to play with food yet again. But Norman also taught me something about life.
Well, I retired out of real estate. I had three offices, and I retired when I was 50. So I've been retired for 34 years.
So you started this plantation just before you retired, and then retired onto this?
Yeah, 1978.
Wow.
Yeah.
And has this been a lucrative business?
No, I'm not. It's a hobby.
Have you lost money on your farm?
Plenty of it. I'm doing something I like. If you do what you like and it's your hobby, you'll live a long time. And that's what I'm going to try to do, is live a long time.
Very wise words from a wise man who is definitely not bananas. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCPX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.